I want to thank all of you for coming to church today. I want to welcome you and pray that God is going to bless you and your family during this holiday season. It's okay to say Christmas in this community, isn't it? All right. I'm glad of that. I know in some places it's like you got a holiday tree and a holiday table and a holiday this, and everybody's afraid to say anything about Jesus. I'm glad that we're free to be able to say that here today, because this celebration that we have today is all about Jesus. In fact, every Sabbath that we gather together, it's all about Jesus. And so it should be something that we could freely say, Merry Christmas to you and your family. And I hope that God richly blesses each one of you. As we start today, I'd like you to turn in your scriptures with me. I'm going to be reading from Luke chapter 2. And if you didn't bring a Bible, I hope that there might be one in the pew in front of you. And I'd like for you to follow along as we read this Christmas story together. And maybe you have an electronic device that you can follow in that would be easier than following through the pages of the Bible. For me, the Bible is a lot easier. Let's begin in reading Luke chapter 2 and verse number 1. And it came to pass in those days that there went out a decree from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be taxed. And this taxing was first made when Cyrenius was governor of Syria. And all went to be taxed, every one into his own city. And Joseph also went up from Galilee, out of the city of Nazareth, unto Judea, unto the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and the lineage of David, to be taxed with Mary, his espoused wife, being great with child. Excuse me. And so it was that while they were there, the days were accomplished that she should be delivered. And she brought forth her firstborn son and wrapped him in swaddling clothes and laid him in a manger, because there was no room for them in the inn. And there were in the same country shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were sore afraid. And the angel said unto them, Fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And this shall be a sign unto you. You shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of heavenly hosts praising God and saying, Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. And it came to pass, as the angels were gone away from them into heaven, the shepherds said one to another, Let us now go into Bethlehem and see this thing that has come to pass, which the Lord hath made known unto us. And they came with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in a manger. And when they had seen it, they made known abroad the saying which was told them concerning this child. And all they that heard it wondered at those things which were told them by the shepherds. But Mary kept all these things and pondered them in her heart. And the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all things that they had heard and seen, and it was told unto them. I was watching through a documentary on the Bible, and just last week, or maybe it was this week, I've kind of lost time. Thank you, Tom. And they were discussing this star that appeared and guided the that was over Bethlehem, that was guiding the Magi to Bethlehem. They were saying that it was a supernova, where a star had this great explosion. And that's what the Magi were looking at. But in my reading, I believe from the scriptures and the spirit of prophecy that this was the angels. And you think about this, when Jesus was resurrected on Sunday morning, one angel came down to roll the stone away, and the brightness of that angel was so great that it knocked the soldiers to the ground. I believe that it was these group of angels that were in heaven that came down to earth and was guiding the shepherds and the Magi to Bethlehem so that they could be to the place where Jesus was born. Now, Jesus came as a baby, friends, when the world was covered with darkness, and I know he was born probably at nighttime there in Bethlehem, but the earth itself was literally dark. The people had been practicing so many pagan practices, worshiping so many different gods that had influenced them there in Jerusalem. They had the Greeks and the Romans who had a god for every day and for every season. And the people were influenced by worshiping not only those gods, but sometimes the emperors themselves, their money, their possessions. There were many things that took their affection and their attention away from God. This was a spiritual darkness that was across the land. And Jesus, this little baby, came as the prophets had once predicted. And if you'll turn with me in Isaiah chapter 7, I'd like you to read with me as I read Isaiah chapter 7. And I'm going to be reading verse number 14. In Isaiah chapter 7 and verse 14, it says, "Therefore the Lord himself shall give you a sign. Behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and shall call his name Emmanuel." 700 years before the prophet Isaiah predicted that a sign to the world would come about the Messiah, and that he would be a male, and that his name would be Emmanuel, 700 years in advance, the prophet Isaiah gave this announcement that his name would be Emmanuel. You look in Matthew chapter 1, verses 22 and 23, it says that Jesus was called Emmanuel, God with us. That has always been God's desire, friends, to be with us. In the Old Testament, he encouraged the Israelites to build a sanctuary that he might dwell among them. In this New Testament era, God has brought Jesus down to this earth, Emmanuel, so that God could be with each one of us. And friends, today, God wants to open our hearts. He wants to be with us today. Not just because it's Christmas time and we're celebrating this idea, this event of Jesus and his birth. What we really want is for us to open our hearts and that Jesus could be in our hearts and be with us every day of the year. In Micah chapter 5, verse 2, it was predicted where Jesus was going to be born. In Micah 5, 2, it says there that that Jesus was going to be born in Bethlehem. Listen to this. In Micah chapter 5, verse 2, it says, "But thou, Bethlehem Ephratah, though thou be little among the thousands of Judah, yet out of thee shall come forth unto me that is to be ruler in Israel, whose goings forth have been from old, from everlasting." And so you see, these prophecies are predicting the birth of Jesus by a virgin, and that it was going to be a male child, that he was going to come at a certain place at a certain time. He came that first time, friends, to prove that what God had said in these prophecies can actually be trusted. There was no room at the inn that night. There was no room for Mary and Joseph and for baby Jesus. And while that town slept, the baby came to town. And in the silence of that night, only a few were aware and prepared to come and see the baby. At this time, we have a song that has been prepared. It's Infant Holy, Infant Lowly, Angela, and Joy and Graham will be singing that song.
Thank you, ladies. Well, as we all know how nature takes place, how it progresses, this baby that was born in Bethlehem grew up to be a man. And this baby who grew to be a man, his name was called Jesus because he was to save his people from their sins according to the scriptures. Sin, according to what God tells us in the prophet's message, in prophet Isaiah 59:2, it says, "But your iniquities have separated between you and your God, and your sins have hid his face from you that he will not hear." And you see, Jesus came to be able to fix the sin problem. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And Jesus has come here to give us the redemption that was purchased by his own blood at the cross of Calvary. He sets us free. And what John 8:32 says, that if the Son shall set you free, you shall be free indeed. And so Jesus came to this earth with a purpose. He didn't come here just to be a baby who was adored by the shepherds and by his mom and dad or by his relatives. He didn't come here just to be recognized by the Magi or to be hunted by King Herod. He came here to redeem every man, woman, and child from what the devil had done in capturing us and putting us in this spiritual prison. He came to set us free, to give us liberty. Listen to what is said in Isaiah chapter 61, verses 1 and 2. "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because the Lord hath anointed me to preach good tidings unto the meek. And he hath sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives and the opening of the prison to them that are bound, and to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord and the day of vengeance of our God, to comfort all that mourn, and to appoint unto them that mourn in Zion, to give unto them beauty for ashes, the oil of joy for mourning, the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness, that they might be called trees of righteousness, the planting of the Lord, that he might be glorified." Jesus came, friends, and he stood up in the sanctuary when he was a man, and he preached this, and you can find it in Luke chapter 4, where Jesus was preaching about himself and what his purpose was for coming to earth. You see, all of these prophecies that we look at in the Old Testament, we see them fulfilled by the man Jesus Christ in the New Testament. And these, along with what Jesus did for the people in setting them free from the captivity of the devil, healing their diseases and sicknesses and working miracles for them, should have convinced everybody who saw Jesus that he was the Messiah who was to come. They should have known it beyond a shadow of a doubt that Jesus, the Son of God, had come down to this earth to redeem every one of us. Jesus came to redeem us, to forgive us, and to change us and how we see God. Jesus didn't come just to be a good friend to people. He didn't come just to be a good prophet. He didn't come just to be seen as a great teacher. He came here to redeem us through his sacrifice at the cross of Calvary. He came here to redeem us at the cross so that we would start loving God again. In John chapter 3, verse 16, it says that God first loved us. And that's why he gave us his dear son, so that we could love him instead of other things in this world. I believe God has great love for every one of us. There's people around the world in this holiday season, during Christmas, their hearts and minds are focused on Jesus. Their hearts and minds are focused not on Santa Claus so much as they are on Jesus and what he's done for them. I believe that there are a lot of people around the world during Christmas that even though they have time with their family and sharing gifts and love and fellowship, I believe that there are a lot of people that focus on Jesus. We see people in our churches that we've never seen before or hadn't seen for a long time, because Jesus is stirring something up in the hearts of men and women and children at this time of the year. But Jesus wants to come into our hearts every day of the year, not just Christmas and Easter. What love God has for every one of us. It's through the redemption of Jesus Christ at the cross, friends, that God poured out his love on every one of us, his children.
great love God has for us, that he would sacrifice his own son for us, for you and me. That the Son of God, the King of this universe, would leave heaven with all of its riches and glory and come to this earth, this sin-darkened world that was caught up in such spiritual darkness, to show us what God's love was really like. The devil had portrayed it completely different. The devil had painted God as this great God who sat upon a throne with a big stick to whip us every time we made a mistake. And yet, as we look at Jesus and his love for us, we see how much God really loves us. We see his love manifested to us in the flesh of Jesus Christ. Truly, Jesus, this Lamb of God that was to come and take away the sins of the world, has come to this earth as a baby. But he has grown into a man, and he died on the cross so that you and I could find redemption with the Father. He came here to draw us back to God. What love God has shown us. Jesus staked his life on that love of God. He staked his love of God on us. For this sin-ridden world that was under the Satan's influence, he died to set you and me free. At this time, we have another song by Angela. And I don't know what, is it Heaven's Child?
She rocked her tiny baby to warm him from the cold. Hardly what she pictured in the prophecies of old. It seemed almost impossible to think it could be true. But as she pondered in her heart, she knew this was heaven's child, heaven's child. In an earthen stable, wrapped in glory meek and mild, Joseph wept with wonder as Mary sweetly smiled, because they knew this was heaven's child. The angels must have missed him as they sang him to sleep, but they marveled at the promises this baby came to keep. His father must have felt it was great sadness and great joy as he watched his little baby boy. 'Cause this was heaven's child, heaven's child. In an earthen stable, wrapped in glory meek and mild, Joseph wept with wonder as Mary sweetly smiled, because they knew this was heaven's child. Mary's little baby boy was Joseph's pride and joy. Still they mourned the world to see that he was so much more. This was heaven's child, heaven's child. In an earthen stable, wrapped in glory meek and mild, Joseph wept with wonder as Mary sweetly smiled, because they knew was heaven's child. Because they knew this was heaven's child.
The Jews had failed to be the light of the world. The world was covered in spiritual darkness, and so were the Jews. They could have known about the Messiah. They talked about him a lot. They grew up with their children telling them that someday the Messiah would come, the Christ would be there. They looked forward to it, but they had limited knowledge about who he was. They had a limited knowledge about God. Even though God had shown his miracles himself to them over and over and over again. And yet, they missed the Messiah's coming. And because of this, the night of the Messiah finally came. Almost all of Bethlehem were sleeping. Almost all of the world carried on its business as usual. And that's the way it's going to be before Jesus comes a second time. Look with me, if you will, in the New Testament to Luke. Chapter 17. In Luke chapter 17, beginning at verse number 26, it says, "And it was in the days of Noah, so shall it also be also in the days of the Son of Man. They did eat, they drank, they married wives, they were given in marriage until the day that Noah entered into the ark, and the flood came and destroyed them all. And likewise also as it was in the days of Lot, they did eat, they drank, they bought, they sold, they planted, and they builded. But the same day that Lot went out of Sodom, it rained fire and brimstone from heaven and destroyed them all. Even thus shall it be on the day when the Son of Man is revealed." Jesus came the first time to prove that what God had said is actually true. And to give us assurance that if the Son of God came, he will come again the second time. That's a promise from God. In fact, Jesus carried on that promise himself in John chapter 14, verses 1 through 3. I want you to listen to this promise if you don't remember it. In John chapter 14, beginning at verse 1, it says, "Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions, and if it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also." The babe slipped into the manger quietly that night, and he was unnoticed except by a few people who were earnestly looking forward to that day. It won't be that way when Jesus comes a second time. When the King comes back to this earth the second time, he will come with great power and glory. And no one will miss the event. In fact, in Revelation 1:7, it says that every eye shall see him. Long has this world waited for the King to return. All things in this world point to the fact that Jesus is coming soon. And he's coming for you and me. Are you ready for that day? Are you ready for the day when Jesus will come back to take his people to that place that he promised in John chapter 14, verses 1 through 3? Do you really want to see Jesus come? Are you like the Jews, so busy with your life, caught up with so many things in your life that you just want Jesus to wait a little while? I'm busy. I haven't sowed my wild oats. I got things I want to accomplish yet. Jesus, hold up for a little while until I get too old to do anything else. I had a person tell me once that after they retired, then it was going to serve Jesus. I asked that person, "What if you died before that? What will you trade for heaven, friends? What will you trade for your very soul? What's so precious to you that you would give up all eternity for it?" Jesus needs to be to us as Zechariah saw him in Luke chapter 1. In Luke chapter 1 at verse number 78, Zacharias saw Jesus as something very significant. In Luke chapter 1, verse 78, it says, "Through the tender mercy of our God, whereby the dayspring from on high hath visited us." The dayspring, arising in the hearts of men, women, and children. He came as a baby. He grew to be a man. And someday he's coming back as the king of this universe. You know, some people wonder today, what did this baby, this man, this king mean to them? Down through the ages, many people have seen this little baby in the manger at Bethlehem in many different ways. To those who are looking forward to eternal life, friends, with that king who is coming back. He is the resurrection of life. To the gardener, he's the lily of the valley. To the horticulturalist, he is the rose of Sharon. To the hungry, he is the bread of life. And to the lost, he is the way, the truth, and the life. To the wanderer, to people who are discouraged, he is the good shepherd. To those who are sitting in spiritual darkness, he is the light of the world. To those who are thirsty, he is the water of life. And to those who have grown cold toward God, he is the day star that can come into your heart and could lighten up your life. Today, Jesus, the King, wants to come into your heart. Will you let him come in? How many of you today, just by raising your hand, would like to say, "Yes, King Jesus, come into my life today"? Thank you. We're going to have a closing hymn today, and we're going to be singing hymn number 142.